From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. President-elect Joe Biden had laid out an ambitious agenda for racial justice and immigrant rights during his campaign. Now, as he begins piecing together his cabinet and preparing to transition into the White House, Biden faces the results of years of shredding immigrants' rights. Under Donald Trump, harm to newcomers ranged from the ripping away of children from their parents to the border wall with Mexico as a symbol of hate. Refugees were denied entry, a Muslim ban put in place, and even legal avenues of immigration dismantled or temporarily banned. How can Biden repair the damage that Trump wrought? And how does he plan on confronting his own legacy as former vice president when Barack Obama had been dubbed deporter in chief? My guest is Oren Nimni, staff attorney with Lawyers for Civil Rights and legal editor of Current Affairs magazine. He was recognized by the Boston Bar Association for his groundbreaking work at the height of the COVID-19 pandemic in Savino versus Souza, the first class action filed in the country to secure the en masse humanitarian release of civil immigration detainees. He's also previously worked with the Prison Litigation Assistance Project, served as a steering committee member of Law for Black Lives, and was on the board of the National Lawyers Guild. Welcome to the program, Oren.
Thanks so much for having me.
So how do we even begin to summarize or encapsulate the damage that President Trump did to this nation's immigration pathways, whether it's undocumented immigrants coming across the border, people applying for immigrant visas, refugees seeking asylum, students, you know, coming to the U.S. to study, every pathway, it seems, that newcomers have used to enter the United States has been dismantled, destroyed, perverted, subverted, etc.
As you say, it's kind of difficult to encapsulate all of the damage that's done, but I like to think about it in three buckets of work that needs to be repaired. One is humanitarian programs that have been dismantled by the Trump administration. So when I say that, I'm talking about programs like DACA or temporary protected status, which protects the residency of hundreds of thousands of people here in the United States who have fled from their countries of origin because of civil unrest or civil wars. And then there, you know, second to that is things that relate to detention. So we have, you know, family separation where you're tearing apart parents and their children and putting them in different detention centers or deporting the parents and the kids are still here. We have the reports of unconsensual hysterectomies and other medical procedures that are going on in detention centers at the border. You know, we have the massive COVID outbreaks in ICE detention centers and the rise of ICE detention generally. And then you have all the other things in this third bucket, all the other things that the Trump administration has done to make life unlivable or harder for immigrants, both in the United States and for attempting to enter into the United States. And so that's things like having Immigration and Customs Enforcement arrest people at courthouses, which is a new Trump administration policy. So when someone's going to get a restraining order against an abusive partner, ICE will pick them up at the courthouse as they go and attempt to do that. Everything from that all the way to the Remain in Mexico program, which is forcing people who are seeking asylum, who are fleeing violence or conflict and trying to come into this country, they're forced to wait in dangerous conditions in Mexico as their cases are adjudicated on a never-ending timeline. So it's hard to encapsulate everything, but I think those are kind of the buckets that we can look to for repair work and hopefully more than repair, actual progress.
And then there's also the huge backlogs of cases from the bans on certain types of visas that Trump enacted this year using the pandemic as cover. I mean, we could go on. We could have a whole program for an hour just talking about the damage that Trump has wrought. So here comes former Vice President Joe Biden as president-elect. During the debates with Trump, he faced accusations that it was the Obama administration that built the cages that the Trump administration was holding people in. And of course, there is some truth to the fact that the Obama administration with Biden as partner, of course, had a poor legacy on immigrant rights. Obama earned the moniker deporter in chief. But of course, it was also Obama who started the DACA program. Do you think that Biden's past as Obama's vice president is something that should worry us when we look to repairing Trump's damage to the immigration system?
I'm worried, but I'm also optimistic. I'm worried because you're right. Obama, rightfully so, was dubbed deporter-in-chief under his administration, and particularly under the supervision of Janet Napolitano when she ran the Department of Homeland Security. We saw massive increases in deportations across the board, still to this day, even including Trump. President Obama, and with Joe Biden as his vice president, deported more people than any other president in the United States history. And so that should be very troubling to us and should give us pause if we think that Joe Biden is going to go in and automatically do something good on immigration. I think that there's reason for optimism, though, and the reasons for optimism are twofold. One, it's important to remember that, like DACA, the president has almost unfettered discretion as to what he can do in the immigration space. We've seen that with the establishment of DACA. We've seen that with the bad things that the Trump administration has done, that there are some changes that need to go through Congress, but a lot of it can really be controlled by the president. So there's a lot of movement that Biden has where he won't be hampered by a Republican Senate or by an unfriendly Supreme Court necessarily. The other reason I'm slightly optimistic, cautiously optimistic, is because I think one of the main hallmarks of the Trump administration really has been the devastation of the immigration policies. When you think about Trump, you think in part about family separation, caging of children, massive backlogs, people waiting in Mexico, the cancellation of medical deferred action programs. All of these things are really tied to Trump. And so even just as a pragmatic thing, if the Democratic Party and if Biden wants to distance himself from Trump, I think possibly, even if not for humanitarian effect, but just for that, you could see the administration doing some really good things on immigration, whether that's rolling back things to Obama era policies or really going further and doing something a little bit more. You know, during the primary, he spoke about putting a 100-day deportation moratorium in place as they tried to repair the immigration system, and flip-flopped a little bit back and forth on that, but that's something that's very doable by the president in and of himself and with the Department of Homeland Security. And so I think it will be a good litmus test as to where the presidency is going in the future as to what he can do in the first 100 days or so on immigration, where he has a ton of power.
And then this week, he has said that he will raise the quotas for incoming refugees to 125,000. And under Obama, it had been increased to something like 110 or 115,000. Under Trump, Trump slashed that down to 15,000. And there are indicators that it's even less than that. So certainly there are some positive signs that the Biden administration will take a completely opposite view of newcomers to the U.S. than Trump did. So your organization, the Lawyers for Civil Rights, based in Boston, sent an open letter to the Biden-Harris administration this week entitled Policy and Legal Priorities for the Biden-Harris Administration. Tell me what exactly you are calling on the Biden-Harris administration to do, first specifically on immigration and immigration policies, but even just broadly speaking on racial justice.
Sure. So with a focus on immigration, and this addresses some of the problems that I was talking about before, we really want to see a rollback on the front end of the Trump administration policies. So we're calling for an end to courthouse arrests by Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and really the adoption of a safe locations type policy where people wouldn't be arrested by ICE at court, at places of worship, at hospitals and at schools. We're calling for a rollback of the expedited removal expansion, which is expedited removal is a process by which people can be removed from the country very quickly, as the name indicates, without very much process. Under the Obama administration, that procedure was only used for people that were apprehended close to the border and within a very short time of arriving. But the Trump administration has expanded that policy to cover the entire country, and for anyone that cannot prove that they've been here longer than 2 years. So we're asking on the front end for that to be reduced back down to the original policy, and then for the administration to really push forward and lock in that reduction by advocating in the legislature for longer term changes. You know, one of the other changes that we wanted to focus on, along with the reinstatement of DACA, the full reinstatement and expansion of DACA, and the reinstatement of temporary protected status for countries like El Salvador, Honduras, Nepal, Nicaragua, Sudan, and Haiti, which have all been canceled under the Trump administration. We also are trying to take a broad view on immigration detention. Recently, we litigated a class action against an immigration detention center here in Massachusetts, trying to seek the release of all the people inside that immigration detention center because of the risks of COVID. And in that case, the judge observed, after looking through the cases, that many of the people, if not all of the people, there was no real reason to detain them. And we think that that's right, and that the Biden administration should really wholesale overhaul immigration detention, which was not in widespread use until the past maybe 30 or 40 years.
That's a really important point. Mm-hmm. I mean, this we should, I think, see even as a legacy of the post-September 11th anti-immigrant hysteria, when immigrants began being locked up as if they were prisoners that had committed felonies, when in fact it was civil infractions that they were being locked up for. And somehow we were expected to see a distinction between detention and incarceration when, practically speaking, there is none. You are still locked up. And then, of course, under briefly under Obama, but far more so under Trump, we saw family detention and then family separation, where kids and parents were detained and imprisoned really separately. So this whole, we seem to have come to the point where we're taking for granted that immigrants that that break immigration policy by coming in without documents should be locked up. But that's not the case. It doesn't have to be that way. It wasn't that way before.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be that way at all. There's very little evidence that that's a useful or a good policy in general, and obviously not good for the people that are locked up and put in cages in immigration detention facilities to begin with. And I mean, I think one thing that's important to remember is the Department of Homeland Security itself is a very young agency. It only comes out of the outgrowth of September 11th in the early 2000s, and immigration detention ratcheted up with the creation of the Department of Homeland Security, and was increasing after some immigration policies put into place by the Clinton administration. But really before that, we don't have widespread immigration detention, and everyone acknowledged that you can enter into the country, you can pursue your asylum claims, and you can do all of that while not being put in prison-like conditions. And I think you're exactly right that the distinction between civil detention in the immigration context and incarceration in the criminal context is, it's a legal fiction. Both entail family separation, both entail horrid conditions, both entail being put in a cage. And in some cases, people in immigration detention have even fewer rights because they're not given things like access to counsel that we're so that we so readily expect on the criminal end.
So what else does your open letter to the Biden-Harris, incoming Biden-Harris administration ask in terms of undoing some of Trump's damage? And I imagine that these are just recommended first steps.
Yeah, these are all first steps that we think will lay the groundwork, that they'll undo and reduce the damage of some of the policies that Trump has put in place, but that they'll also start paving a path that the Biden administration can move forward on. The bulk of our recommendations are in immigration because that's where the Trump administration has done a bulk of the damage, and that's also where the Biden administration has the most power earliest on. Some of the other recommendations will take longer as they go through agency processes or as they go have to be pushed through Congress, but we're seeking wide-scale change. We're seeking an end to the public charge rule or a reversal of the public charge rule, which is a restriction on immigration when people can adjust their status if they've used public benefits within a certain amount of time. We're seeking changes to HUD regulations that have made it harder for people to file discrimination claims and to prove discrimination in housing. And we're seeking wide-scale changes on how the Department of Justice investigates use of force and racially discriminatory policies by police departments across the country. you know, after Ferguson, the Obama DOJ made some progress in really investigating local and state police departments who had these widespread practices, either of use of force or of instituting sort of debtor's prison type collection policies where, you know, if we looked at the city of Ferguson, most of the city had warrants out for them because of unpaid low fines and fees. And we've seen all of that enforcement disappear under the Trump administration. So I think part of the goal is that we want the Trump administration policies rolled back. And part of the goal of the letter is to encourage the Biden administration to take a stronger hand in some areas where states and localities are have been given free rein under the Trump administration.
Going back to the issue of immigration in general, and this does, of course, apply to the Justice Department, what is the sort of change in leadership that you hope for? Because change often at these agencies, the tone is set by who's leading these agencies. And the Trump administration came in, you know, often ousting career diplomats and career, you know, people who career officials who had served under both Democratic and Republican administrations, who had long histories of working in these agencies, replaced them with inexperienced people, people who had political agendas. Trump surrounded himself with advisors like Stephen Miller, who took a deeply ideological approach to immigration. And it seems as though just by personnel changes, the Biden-Harris incoming administration could do a lot.
That's correct. I mean, I think we underestimate how much personnel matters and how much power also the Department of Homeland Security and the Department of Justice have, really unfettered discretion, particularly DHS in immigration enforcement. I mean, if the Biden administration wanted, they could stop all ICE enforcement for, you know, the first 100 days, if that's what they chose, and or for longer. It's really, it's kind of a prosecutorial discretion. But I think that you're right that personnel makes a difference. I think what we're seeking is a combination of two things. One is the re-implementation of some of those career people that know how the systems work and can really implement changes on a granular level that will have big impact. But we're also hoping that the Biden administration will look at the leaders in the immigrants' rights movement that have built up over the past 4 years of resistance to Trump, and even who had been doing really good work trying to combat some of the Obama-era immigration policies, and that Biden will look to those advocates and say, well, you also have an understanding of the immigrants' rights space that maybe some of the career people don't, and that a combination of, you know, the technocratic career elements along with strong civil rights and immigrants' rights advocates who have been doing work outside of the administration would make an agency that will push forward immigrants' rights with new vigor.
And I imagine that even just a new attorney general will make a huge difference. Attorney General William Barr has, really undermined, I will euphemistically say, the office of the nation's top prosecutor.
It's true. I was looking back at some of the cases that we filed at the beginning of the Trump administration, and I had even forgotten that Jeff Sessions had previously been attorney general, and that we've gone through a couple of changes, and Barr being the frankly the worst amongst all of them, and that the attorney general has massive power in what they're going to prosecute, how they're going to use law enforcement, and also in the immigration space in particular has really deep power as to what the immigration appeals and what immigration law looks like. What we saw under Sessions and then under Barr is that office really reaching into the immigration law space and changing BIA decisions so that they would limit asylum access for women who are fleeing domestic violence or people who are fleeing gang violence, particularly out of the Northern Triangle. And so a new attorney general can go in and do some corrective work on all of those things, but can really charge forward and do some really good things. And I think we're hoping that the new attorney general is chosen from the immigrants' rights or civil rights community.
I'm wondering if you can comment on the cultural damage that Trump did on the issue of immigration over 4 years, because even if Biden comes in undoing the damage or trying to, as best as he can, undo the damage, we have a country whose anti-immigrant sentiment has been whipped up to a huge frenzy. I mean, Trump came in to office on anti-immigrant frenzy. But he spent 4 years slamming immigrants and whipping up hate. And we now have a country where 70 million plus Americans still chose that path during the election. And you know, hate crimes against people who are immigrants or are perceived to be of immigrant backgrounds have skyrocketed. And I doubt that Biden undoing Trump's immigration policies is necessarily going to help usher in that cultural shift that we need.
Yeah, I think that's right. There's going to have to be serious work done on a messaging and cultural position to build back up ties and solidarity amongst our communities. And I think it's much harder to rebuild or to newly build those ties than it is to tear them down. President Trump spent the past 4 years really shredding that, sowing deep fear in immigrant communities and sowing deep hatred in communities across the country. I think we're hoping from the Biden administration is real work to repair that, and that some of that work will mean not just reversing Trump rhetoric and saying, you know, where Trump says, well, immigrants are your enemies, immigrants are stealing your jobs, immigrants are criminals, et cetera, and not just for the Biden administration to say, well, no, that's not true, but instead to try to galvanize communities and say, no, you know, the working class of people in communities across the country, both immigrant and non-immigrant, really have common goals and common enemies in the United States, in sort of corporate power, that they can fight, they can band together and fight against, and that really building that solidarity within communities is going to be the best antidote to the hatred that's been sowed over the past 4 years.
Finally, Oren, I hope you don't mind me ending on a personal question for you. The past 4 years has also meant lawyers like yourself doing tireless work on behalf of immigrants and refugees and asylum seekers and visa applicants and detained folks and deported folks, separated families. And it often goes unnoticed or underappreciated, the incredibly important work that lawyers working for organizations like yours do. And you know, for those in our audience who are young, who are considering career paths, how important is it to have more people in the ranks of lawyers like yourself doing this important work? Because even with Biden in place, the need for that kind of work doesn't go away. And in millions, in thousands of cases at least, it made such a difference to the lives of people to have folks like yourself advocating on their behalf. People who are vulnerable, who don't have access to resources, who may not even know what their rights are.
You know, at the start of the family separation crisis, me and my colleagues went down to El Salvador and Honduras and found a number of parents who had already been deported while their children were in detention. And I think that without us going down and without similar advocates, those families would still be separated. Kids would still be without their parents. So I don't think I can overstate how vital it is for people to invest in this work. It's hard, it's draining. But if people are considering a career in law, if there was any time to be a civil rights attorney or an immigrants' rights attorney, now is the time. Mm-hmm. And like we've been saying, you know, I think things are going to get better under the Biden administration, but it would be naive to think that everything will be fixed. And that we won't still need people to rush into court to stop bad things from happening. And that, you know, conversely, we still won't need people advocating and in the streets pushing things for, you know, for actual progress.
Give out the website for your organization where people can find out more about the work you do and also read that open letter that we were talking about.
Sure. So folks can find us at www.lawyersforcivilrights.org. And can check out the litigation that we're doing in immigrants' rights, but also in education, policing, employment, et cetera, and can see that open letter there.
That's lawyersforcivilrights.org. Oren, thanks so much for joining us. Good luck to you.
Thank you so much for having me.
My guest has been Oren Nimni, staff attorney with Lawyers for Civil Rights, legal editor of Current Affairs magazine. We've been discussing an open letter that Lawyers for Civil Rights sent to the incoming Biden-Harris administration. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.